Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
If you missed me, Jake...
Absolutely.
I felt forced and somewhat genuine.
I didn't see you the other day.
A little bit. That's right. We did see each other yesterday. That is true. It wasn't passing. All right. Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Adam Carriker Show, 11 to 1. You know what you're getting? A unique insight and bridled honesty. Producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. Lots to talk about. I have not reacted to Scott Frost. Do you think I should react or no?
At some point, I'd like to know, yeah.
Well, since we put it in the headline of the show today, I think the plan is to react. To be honest with you, I wasn't going to because I wasn't here Monday or Tuesday, you know, normally not on Wednesdays. And I was like, by Thursday, it will have it has not passed. I'm still getting texts. I'm at Freddy's last night with my 9-year-old eating ice cream, and a gentleman, very nice, friendly, comes over and chats. Within 30 seconds, what do you think of Frost? Like, he's just like, people are asking me, and I'm like, all right, it's still apparently something that people are very curious about. I've been asked about it quite a bit. So I will react to Scott Frost. All right, his, I was going to say glorious comments with a whole bunch of sarcasm behind it. I can't even make that sarcastic. With what he had to say at Big 12 Media Days, Joel Klatt, I sent you the clip last night, believes that Nebraska will go 10-2. When I sent that to you, what did you think, Jake? Joel Klatt predicting Nebraska will go 10-2. Now, it wasn't like a strong prediction, like this is definitely going to happen because that would be asinine. You don't know what the heck's going to happen in college football. But he kind of was like, there's this game that's important, and man, I could just see it happening. Like, we'll play the clip later. But what did you think when I sent that to you last night?
A couple different thoughts go through your head. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Joel Klatt, but he does kind of stick up on the opposite side, working for Fox against the SEC, mm-hmm. 2 degrees. So he'll stick up for the Big Ten more than usual. It was a little bit surprising. I've seen Joel Klatt. the usual stuff kind of goes to your mind. Is he kind of pandering to an audience that'll make clicks? You know, that sort of thing. Because he generally does feel optimistic for Nebraska, you know, in the last couple of years, and hasn't turned that corner. So there's a little bit of that. But 10-2, that's a big swing, I think.
We'll play that clip in hour two. Kenny Wilhite, who was at our camp yesterday, along with the ticket being there. DP was on site. Steve Taylor was on site. The Drive, AD, Nick Sainert was on site. He was one of our coaches at the camp yesterday. I'm going to ask, he coached with Frost at Nebraska. So I'm curious to see what he has to say. All right. Kenny obviously had a great career at Nebraska as well. 25 plus years of coaching experience in college football. So we can chat about that as well. And I'm sure I'll have to ask him about Joel Klatt, 10-2. All right, all these things that we're going to get to over the course of the next couple hours. A lot of that will be in hour two. But 6 former Huskers, all right, real quick. 6 former Huskers highlight the 2025 Nebraska Football Hall of Fame class. 6 Nebraska football standouts. All right, a state college All-American and 2 longtime contributors to the Husker football program will be inducted into the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame this fall. For the first time, For the first time, the Nebraska chapter of the National Football Foundation and College Hall of Fame will also represent a Nebraska Hall of Fame Legend Award as part of its annual banquet. Husker football standouts voted into the Hall of Fame by the chapter's membership include offensive lineman Tom Welter, 1980s. All right, I-back Derek Brown, 1990s era. All right, late I-back Darren Diedrich, all right, 2000 to 2007. I crossed over with Diedrich for 2 years. My first 2 years at Nebraska was his junior and senior year. So I got to know him a little bit, not a ton, just him being a little bit older. I frankly was at a different stage. I don't want to say survival stage, but I was like, my head was spinning as a true freshman and redshirting. And then as a redshirt freshman, I'll never forget Willie Amos. All right. So I redshirt in the fall, then that spring, my first spring ball. We're sitting there one day at the end of winter conditioning. And Willie Amos, you remember Willie Amos?
Oh, absolutely. He's one of my favorite players.
Such a nice dude. Jump rope national champion. I'm sure you're aware of that. Insanely fast. He just starts staring at me and smiling one day. It's like the end of February, a couple weeks before spring ball is going to start. Just staring at me and smiling. Not like in a, I don't want to say, it wasn't mean, but it wasn't nice. It was like devious. I'm like, Willie, what's up? He goes, you ain't protected by that red shirt no more, young fella. Them bullets about to be real in 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, it kind of got me nervous, to be honest. Be like, oh, okay. All right. Like, it's completely different when you're redshirting and you're literally like an X on a card following a line and an arrow. All right. Cause you're doing what the other team's defense is going to do. Hopefully given the offense that's going to face that team on Saturday, a really good look, but that's very different when all of a sudden now, as he put it, the bullets are real or whatever. Like, now it's a whole nother level. So I do remember that, but I was at a different stage than Diedrich, obviously, who will be a Nebraska Football Hall of Famer and well-deserved. All right, place kicker / punter, Brett Maurer. Shocked by that at all?
Absolutely not.
0% shockage. Also this one, Kenny Bell. Any shockage?
No, absolutely not.
0% to -% shockage there. Linebacker Bob Nelson was selected by the Hall of Fame board as a veteran inductee, while UNO linebacker Tom Sakou is this year's state college representative. All right, let me see. The first Hall of Fame legend honorees will be 1972 Heisman Trophy winner Johnny Rogers. Additionally, Nebraska Deputy AD Student Services Dennis LeBlanc will receive the Lyle Bremser Special Merit Award, and longtime team orthopedic surgeon Dr. Dugas is the 2025 recipient of the Clarence Swanson Memorial Award. All right, the inductions will officially be held Friday, September 12th. Well, first of all, going back to Dennis LeBlanc, so he's been at Nebraska, you know, forever, seemingly. Academic advisor. He was my academic advisor, along with Keith Zimmer, when I was a student athlete there. I would have never guessed, my freshman year was 02, I would have never guessed that 21 years later, in 2023, he would be the interim AD. And now he's receiving this special award. But him and Keith, man, they've been doing such great work running one of the top academic departments in the entire country. We have been number one or number two in academic All-Americans for like 4 decades. So that's well-deserved. But reaction to some of these others, what do you think about a guy like Darren Diedrich, who sometimes honestly gets overlooked? Do you think, I obviously think he deserves to be in, but do you think there's going to be any fans who are a little surprised that Diedrich is getting in or no?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's always just kind of interesting, the timing of some of these guys, right? Bob Nelson and Tom Welter have to wait decades. Yep. Darren Diedrich unfortunately has to wait, you know, after he's passed away. And you know, some other guys, obviously Kenny Bell's still kind of very young. As I get older, you know, I guess it's been 10 years now that Kenny Bell's probably played here at Nebraska. But, no, I mean, Darren Diedrich, I always kind of think of when they had that championship run with Eric Crouch and the Heisman Trophy winner, he was, I mean, like first team all Big 12, and coming back the next year, he was like predicted to be preseason first team all American. And obviously, you know, Jamal Lord, a little different than Eric Crouch, although he was very good himself. They put up a lot of offensive numbers, but Darren kind of got hurt a little bit there too. And so didn't have as good of a senior season. So I think that kind of left less of a lasting impression, but his junior season, Darren Diedrich was right up there as one of the best running backs in the country.
All right, Brett Maurer, we discussed, no surprise whatsoever. Kenny Bell as well. And you made a great point. Like, it literally says right next to Brett Maurer, 2008 to 2015 era. Kenny Bell, 2008 to 2015 era. Then you've got, like you mentioned, Tom Welter from the 1980s, Derek Brown from the 1990s. The timing is interesting sometimes. Like, why are some guys sooner? Why are some guys a little bit later? All right, but they're all well-deserving. couple other quick things here. Two Husker gymnasts are in all academic All-America honors. And we are still student athletes. Is that correct? Student
athletes? For now.
Are we? Is that still a thing? When's the last time you actually heard that term to begin with? Student athlete. When is the last time you've heard that term?
Well, they call it, the designated student athlete for the latest transfer portal? I mean, so that's probably the only time I've heard of it the last couple of months, maybe. But I didn't see, even Kyle Whittingham's talking about maybe a separation of school and football going to a true minor league at some time. So it might not be student athletes for long.
Well, for now, they are still student athletes, technically. All right. Nebraska men's gymnast Ashton Cohen and Taylor Christopoulos were honored Wednesday as both were tabbed for the 2025 Academic All-American at-large team selected by College Sports Communicators. So I'm still a big believer in academics, so I thought that was absolutely worth mentioning. A couple other things real quick. The annual red-white scrimmage for Nebraska volleyball will be held August 9th, while the first ever alumni match, Jake, will be held on August 16th. Now, someone said, which one are you more excited for? I was like, is that a real question? Is that a real question? Well, I guess that's their version of a spring game. The volleyball team actually having a spring game or late summer, early fall game, I guess we'll call it. The alumni match. What are your thoughts on this? Who's going to make up the alumni team? Are they just going to go down to Love Volleyball and the Supernovas and grab half that squad? Is that a good idea to even do that?
I love it. I mean, I think it's celebrating the history in the volleyball. Nebraska volleyball community is, very close, very, very much does like to look back on the history. That's one thing I appreciate about the volleyball program. I say all the time when I can, if you go to a game, there's just banners everywhere of all the All-Americans, and there's so many All-Americans within that program. There's a lot to choose from. So, I mean, people are going to be excited, obviously, to kind of usher in the new era to see what the new team looks like. But you're right. I mean, it could be just as interesting to see, depending on the teams they put together for the alumni match.
Like, if they just go to Love Volleyball, Lexi Rodriguez, Jordan Larson, just to name a couple. I mean, Allie Battenhorse, who people in Nebraska love, but she comes back now after transferring to USC and actually plays in the alumni game. Like, imagine, just other players like that on the alumni squad playing our current squad. So as far as the entertainment and draw appeal, I mean, this is off the charts. This is off the charts. This is phenomenal. They should put this in Memorial Stadium. Do you think it would sell out? Because I absolutely think it would sell out. We played UNO that day when it sold out. Love UNO. But this would be another level, don't you think?
I think it definitely could. That would be that would be definitely a tactic they could use. I'd be very interested to see if they ever do that again. Was that a novelty? The fact that, or would Memorial Stadium fill up once again? And like you said, because it wasn't necessarily from the quality of opponent or match there. It was kind of the first time, let's show the support. What's it look like if you get a big time opponent in or like this, drawing all the stars?
I think this would sell out again. Do you think it would sell out?
I think so, yeah.
I think it would.
Yeah.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their game time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Definitely think of what I want to know from the fine folks at home. Like, what do you think of this alumni match? And if they put it in Memorial Stadium, I forget the exact number we had that day. It was like 92,000 and some. Jake's going to look it up real quick. All right. Do you think it would sell out? Would we have the same amount of people, possibly more, than when we did at Nebraska Volleyball Day a couple of years ago? And I think this is something where if you do it every other year, not that we couldn't do it every year, but every other year, it keeps it unique and special. And it, I don't want to say like, not like the Olympics, because that's the Olympics and that's once every 4 years, but kind of doing something every other year could make it like something people look forward to, but you don't see it all the time. So it's rare, it's unique, it's special. I think it's something that could be highly successful. Did you look up that number?
Yeah, 92,003. Thanks to those.
That was the number in my head, but I didn't have the guts to say it. All right.
Yeah.
Also, now I can say whatever I want. Nobody knows what was in my head, but that was the number that was in my head, technically. All right. Serious question. As much as I love this idea and this concept, serious question. Like, there's going to be a winner and a loser. Like, does the winner and loser on the scoreboard, does it matter that, like, if the alumni beats our current team, does that have some sort of an impact? What if our current team, who is significantly younger than the pro volleyball players who might be playing or have played in the Olympics, does that, what does that mean? I mean, does the scoreboard at the end of this alumni match, because this has to have been talked about when they were even talking about setting this up, does that mean that much? Will that have an impact one way or the other? What do you think there, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be a big part of the intrigue is to see, because, you know, when you talk about professional volleyball, obviously there's the those that are just kind of college athletes that don't make it quite to that level. And, you know, Nebraska, fortunately, is one of those programs that, you know, it probably has more that kind of get opportunities than don't. But you're right. I mean, I think one way we think, well, what would this mean for Nebraska? What would it mean for Olympic style and pro volleyball players to lose to a college team? But that'd be, it's fascinating. So I think it kind of depends on what the makeup of that team is. Is it a lot of people that are currently still playing, or is it, you know, just kind of bringing back playing the hits and a wide variety of ages there?
You make a good point. I just kind of assume they're going to play against alumni that are currently still playing. It just makes the most sense to me. You know, for the Husker games, they originally had like 7-on-7 current Huskers versus former Huskers, and they had all these ideas of actual football happening, at least to some degree, shape, or form, between current Huskers and former Huskers. What I found interesting, and not a lot of details were ever released, but I never heard anything about current Huskers versus former Huskers who are currently in the NFL. It was mostly current Huskers versus former Huskers who haven't played football in a decade and have a microphone in front of their face. I thought that was interesting. But this is a different dynamic if you're playing against people who are sharp, been playing, in shape, older, more experienced to a degree. And I'm not trying to overthink this. You know, for me, these are just things that pop into my head when I think about when you're setting stuff up. How do you do it? Why do you do it? Why do you not do it? What are the pluses? What are the minuses? To be clear, I love this idea. And I don't really think the scoreboard is going to matter as much as I just kind of proposed. I was just curious what your thoughts were. If people have thoughts on the text line, let us know. What's that number?
402-464-5685.
I think it's one of those things where it's going to be, in the moment, they're competitive. But before, after, and probably even during, it's going to be nothing but love. And the scoreboard's going to be whatever it's going to be. And I don't think all that much will be made of it either way. But those are just my thoughts. And I thought it was kind of interesting because it's never been done before. An alumni match like that. And when you think of the alumni that Nebraska has, there's some names. There's some names that are still playing that could come down and play possibly. A lot of them just up the road in Omaha. And then you think about our team. I don't know. Do we know the preseason rankings in volleyball right now? Because I could see Nebraska being preseason number one. Definitely in the top 4, 3, or 2. I don't know if we know the preseason rankings yet. Probably a bit early. But what if it's like the number one team in the country? And the matches against like Jordan and Lexi, et cetera, et cetera. I can go list a whole bunch of names, but you know, what if someone like Christina Hotelling comes back, and I don't know if she's played volleyball in a while, or Sarah Pavin. I mean, these are national award winners, Olympians, you know, world champions, some of them. So I think it would be quite interesting, but I think it's mostly going to be a lot of fun and mostly love. So have we gotten anything on the text line on that or not?
Let's see here. Rod in South Lincoln says, no, it means nothing on who wins. It is for pure entertainment value. There is no national championship at stake. Hey Dog says, John Cook coaches the alumni team. DBK coaches the new Huskers. Now that's the headline we'll catch them on.
I like that one. Now we're having fun with it.
And 1097 says, hey Adam, it's not a dad bod, it's a father figure. I think that would be an awesome idea.
Okay, so he was at the camp yesterday because I saw that shirt.
Oh, really? That's
so
good, yeah.
Yeah, they're going through the autograph line at the end, and the shirt says, it's not a dad bod, it's a father figure. And I'm like, that's a phenomenal shirt. Where'd you get? I want one of those. Where'd you get that? And apparently, it's like, I forget. So if I say this wrong, text in and let me know. I think he said his wife had it made or somebody had it made. I was like, oh, I want to go on. I'm too lazy to have something made. But I'm just like, I want to go online and get that shirt. That was a phenomenal shirt. So shout out to you, my friend. Okay, I will say this. When we come back at break at 11:30, I will give my reaction to Scott Frost and some of the comments he had to say and things of that nature. In the meantime, I got a few random things that have accumulated over the past few days that I thought the fine folks might find interesting. All right. So this was actually tweeted out by Brock Purdy. Farmageddon, which is Iowa State versus Kansas State. Is it really called that, or did he just make it up for the tweet? Do you know that?
It's called that. I don't know if it's like official, but it's called that. Yeah.
Okay. Farmageddon, Iowa State versus Kansas State, is the longest uninterrupted FBS rivalry in history, stretching back to 1917. That will end in 2027. That 2027 football season here in... He wrote 110 years. What? After 110 years. Ah, that makes more sense. Okay, because that's only a couple years from now. Iowa State leads the series 54-50 and four ties. All right, and then he tweets at the Big 12 Conference, there is time to fix this. Protect the rivalry. I remember... And what popped into my head immediately, Nebraska and Kansas had played forever. Nebraska and Missouri had played for a long time. And obviously, you had the rivalry and the bell that the team would win afterwards and trophy, so to speak, of a bell that you would carry off the field if you won the game. A lot of these, like Texas A&M, had played forever. Now they're going to start playing again. There's threats of Notre Dame USC not being around. And I fully expect Lincoln Riley to say, we good. We don't need to play a Big Ten slate plus Notre Dame. All right. And Notre Dame's like, hey, we need some people to play. We'll join a conference. All right. Stop having your cake and eat it too. Although if I could have my cake and eat it too, I would do it. It's everyone else that needs to take the cake away or let them stop eating it. Make them join a conference. Maybe this is one of the things that will push them that direction, but we'll see. My point that I'm getting to is a lot of these rivalries, and I was honestly not aware of Farmageddon, Iowa State, Kansas State, dating back in once we get to 2027, 110 years of every year that game being played. I wasn't aware it was that in depth or that much of a rivalry to that degree, but losing these rivalries potentially, like I'm trying to think of other ones that are left. Army-Navy. And technically, Oregon State still play each other, but I could see Oregon at some point saying, nah, we good. Same thing with Washington State. That's called the Civil War, Oregon State, the Apple Cup, Washington State. Unless you are directly in the same conference. Like Cal Stanford right now is safe, but how long are they going to be in the ACC? We'll see. All right, Florida State. That's an out-of-conference rivalry that's heated, been going on for a long time. Are they going to keep doing it? What do you think of these rivalries? Some of them more longer tenured, some of them big brand versus big brand. We're starting to lose these, not starting, but really losing a lot of these with just the way college football is going.
Well, it's really unfortunate. I mean, those are they're games that you look forward to every year. Some of them placed on, you know, similar weekends getting into rivalry weekend. I mean, we've lost Bedlam. We've lost Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. That one's really close to me.
Yes.
So that's frustrating. As we see kind of conference realignment adjustment, and it's obviously impacting Nebraska. We saw Colorado's AD Rick George say the other day they'd like to play Nebraska every year. Nebraska, as we know, because it's canceling the Tennessee series, probably wouldn't be interested in something like that. And so we're going to see a lot of these teams, if it's out of conference, that's kind of where it gets to have an annual out of conference game when you're playing in the Big Ten or the SEC is going to be difficult. So we'll see. I mean, it's part of this. It's one of the saddest parts of college football evolving, if you will. There's pros and cons about what we've seen over the last 10, 15 years. There's pros and cons about what we're going to see in the next 10 to 15 years. But losing some of those rivalries certainly has been a con.
Yeah, for sure. All right, a couple of other things. And I'm getting a little bit more interested in the NBA again. You'll notice that. Like, I've got a bunch of NBA screen grabs or stats or this or whatever. Like, I haven't seriously watched the NBA since, what, 2017, Cavs, Warriors. I've just kind of been checked out to a degree. That final series really kind of got me excited again. And unfortunately, the injury in Game 7 made the game, the separation in the score, a little bit wider than we would have liked. And hopefully he comes back healthy, Halliburton, that is, with the torn Achilles. But, man, I really enjoyed a lot of the playoffs. I don't want to say a big Pacers fan, but I'm gaining a much more rooted interest in the Pacers because I like the way they play. All right. And so here's a couple of things that I thought were interesting. All right. The last four MVPs who played all 82 games. I'm not going to make you try to guess what years these guys played. Can you try to guess the names?
Have played all 82 games?
The last four guys who won MVP and played all 82 games.
Russell Westbrook?
No.
No. I'll just go through those. Kevin Durant? No.
No.
I'll
give you a hint.
Giannis?
The last one happened in 2007.
Okay, so yeah. That's a good hint because I was going back recently. Kobe?
Yep, Kobe. All right, there's one. Before that, it was 2003.
Tim Duncan?
That's 02, but I'll give it to you.
Okay.
All right.
Shaq?
Nope.
Yeah, that'd be loud to play all games. 2003, Iverson?
Kevin Garnett,
okay.
Kevin Garnett. And the other one is 97, so
yeah.
You get one guess. You don't get it right.
Michael Jordan.
It has been almost 20 years. That's crazy to me. The load management or whatever. To me, I'm a football player. I don't understand load management. I understand bang, 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 bang. All right. And then this was honestly, I wasn't surprised to see this. If you watch the 92 Dream Team and the 92 Olympics, nobody was close. Nobody was close. Nobody was ever close. There was no reason for them to call a timeout. The Dream Team, though, never called a single timeout in the 1992 Olympics. I thought that was the most random, interesting stat. And the last thing before we had to break here, Jake, you probably saw this. Minnesota has extended head coach PJ Fleck through the 2030 season. My quick thoughts are Nebraska fans probably won't like it. Minnesota, for them, I think it's honestly the right move and a great move.
Going into his ninth year at Minnesota, if you can believe that. They're rowing the boat strong down there. Just looking at them this morning, they're an interesting team. They've got some good star power on both sides of the ball this year, but they got to replace a lot. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.